From Canada to Korea, Donald's diplomacy continues this week. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The countdown begins to the summit tomorrow between President Trump and North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Historic, whether for its success or failure, we don't yet know. In the last few minutes, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo spoke in Singapore, saying the only result the U.S. will accept is the denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. So big expectations. The BBC's Rico Hizon in Singapore says the city's already been transformed.
A lot of excitement here. Security is really tight. You have 5,000 police officers patrolling the streets. And what makes this different from the other summits and conventions being held here is that it's being held in three key areas on the island that have been declared special event areas. Trump staying at the Shangri-La Hotel. Less than a kilometer away is Kim Jong-un at the St. Regis. Both hotels located in the commercial district. So a lot of roads have been shut down. And then you have the summit being held at the Capella, which is a five-star hotel on Sentosa Island. And it's like the Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida.
What exactly, though, does Kim Jong-un want from President Trump?
Legitimacy on the world stage. If this historic meeting is successful, it could lead to an easing of sanctions on Pyongyang, which has been implemented not by the U.S., but by many Western countries. Dozens of countries have imposed sanctions on Pyongyang. The North Korean economy is suffering. Number two, economic aid, not only from the U.S., but from other Western countries. And hopefully, foreign investments will start to trickle in. I was just talking to an analyst earlier from the Milken Institute, and he said this could really open the floodgates to new investments in public infrastructure, telecommunications, railways, new roads, education. The tourism industry would boom. It really all depends on Kim Jong-un, because Donald Trump wants denuclearization. And he said he will be able to tell the state of mind of Kim Jong-un in the very first minute that he meets him.
Rico Hizon and Mike Pompeo still speaking in Singapore, saying that the president goes into the talks with a positive attitude. Let's do the numbers. The euro is making gains as stocks and bonds in Italy are moving sharply higher after the country's finance minister said there's no discussion about leaving the common currency. The price of Bitcoin is extending its 2018 plunge after a South Korean crypto exchange reported a, quote, cyber intrusion. On the back of that, the cryptocurrency market has shed about $45 billion in value. Now, turmoil in politics and in economies, it's a theme we're not going to hear the end of soon, not least in Europe, scarred by Brexit, strikes and populist debates on immigration and jobs. But encouraging news this morning from EY, which says the UK last year was actually the top destination for foreign direct investment, and confidence towards Europe jumped after 3 years of decline. Andy Baldwin is the author of the annual European Attractiveness Survey.
France, tremendous growth. Paris, for the first time, overtook London in terms of the most attractive destination from a city point of view. I think what we're really seeing is the impact of the Macron effect. You've got a very dynamic new president, and he has targeted and focused on foreign direct investment to drive jobs and growth in France, and especially focused on technology.
What about the UK and Germany?
UK-based businesses investing into Europe was up by 35%. So you can start to see a number of FS businesses now investing in operations and businesses so ensure that they can retain passporting when we leave Brexit. German results were perhaps a little bit surprising because Germany grew by 6%, but as did the UK. We really see a couple of factors coming through. One is a tightening labour market. Two is really a skills challenge and a skills shortage, particularly around some of the digital skills and the technology skills. And what we've also seen is a lot of German companies now moving sort of manufacturing activities into Central Eastern Europe and also into Southern Europe.
The report talks a lot about where foreign investment is going. Is there a challenge perhaps from emerging markets?
The reason the foreign direct investment is so important for Europe is the number of jobs it creates. So if we look at last year's report, the foreign direct investment created over 350,000 jobs. 50% of those jobs were actually in Central and Eastern Europe. However, what we're seeing, which is a positive for the EU, the economic growth in those countries is leading to increases in wages. Those businesses who are moving jobs from a manufacturing point of view are actually now looking at cheaper locations. That's going south into places like Turkey, but also going further east to pick up places like Serbia And then perhaps the most surprising result was the number of businesses who were actually investing in Russia. I think what you've got in Russia is there is a strong focus around certain sectors, energy, technology. Secondly, wages there have been flat. We've got a number of businesses who want to invest and set up operations and factories to operate and serve the greater sort of Russia area, but also use it as a base for exporting back into Europe.
Andy Baldwin. One of Britain's biggest investment companies, Legal & General Investment Management, says it's taking action against companies not dealing with climate change. One of its big funds has sold shares in 8 companies, and the rest of its funds will vote against the chairman of those companies, which includes Subaru, Cisco Corporation, Rosneft Oil, and China Construction Bank. Mariam Omi is head of sustainability and responsible investment at LGIM.
What we're doing is just sending a very powerful message to the companies globally. That climate change is a very important and real issue, and we all have a role to play. So there are different ways that we express through divestments and also voting against, but essentially the message is the same. We all need the companies to step up.
Mariam Omi there. The move comes after the Pope summoned oil company executives to the Vatican last week, warning energy needs must not destroy the planet. Finally, glamping, the final frontier. A new company called Axiom Space is developing an 8-day cosmic trip complete with cocktails and Wi-Fi. 8 people can go for just $55 million. I'm guessing no campfires or marshmallows on offer, though. With my feet firmly on the ground here in London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.